Good morning. Did everybody get an envelope this morning? If anybody didn't get one, raise your hand. Please. We want to make sure you got an envelope. Okay, we need one right over here and right over here. I'll go this way. Before we start, I just want to share a few things that I just got to tell you how blessed I am to be here. And of course, when I'm invited anywhere, I ask that the Lord would help me to know what it is He wants me to share so that I can be a blessing wherever I go. But He always surprises me at how much the people turn out blessing me. But I've got to tell you something. There's always going to be a special place in my heart about Mountain View. And I really had to talk to our Father about what I'm about to share, because it's not something that I don't think I've ever shared. And I think it'll be good that I share it, because it'll teach us something about the power of inclusion. Because as Christians, we want to look for where people might not be included. And we don't often see it in the most obvious places. But my entire life, not one year of my life have I ever liked Father's Day, because I didn't have a father that gave me a reason to like it. And although I always, as I grew up, hoped and prayed that I would have children, I never had children. That's why yesterday I had everyone stand and only the women sit, and wished everyone standing at that point a happy Father's Day, because that included all the men. The young men who will be fathers, the older men who are fathers, and those who are not, but who are father figures in our church. And when someone came up and pinned that flower on me and wished me a happy Father's Day, and then wrote in my prayer journal about giving me that flower, I realized that in my preparation to honor the fathers here in Mountain View, God was preparing to heal my heart, so that from now on, I am going to celebrate Father's Day. And as I celebrate Father's Day, I'm going to always remember where God touched my heart. And it was right here. And I thank you so very much. And I thank our awesome, powerful God for the God that He is, that He just shows up in the most unexpected time, the most unexpected ways, and just surprises us, as He did me yesterday. There's another surprise. I was surprised that when I came here, and I had brought the resource disc on my computer, and we were going to make this available for you. When I went to get the files, I realized that I had only brought half of them. And so I had called a friend of mine, he's the prayer coordinator in Colorado, Jim Moon. He's also a singer. He's an amazing prayer warrior. But I called him knowing that anything I ever send him, he keeps. And he transferred all of the files to Barry. And that's how this resource disc became available. So I was pretty frustrated at first when I realized I had forgotten that. But when I called Jim and made arrangements for him to send the files, he was very happy to do it. And yesterday morning, I was going out to fill up my car with gas. And as I was driving along the roadside, all of a sudden my phone started going crazy because all of a sudden I had reception. And all these messages started coming through, and I'm like, oh man, I can call somebody. So I pulled over on the side of the road, and I called Jim. And I wanted to tell him how thankful we were here that he had gone to all that trouble. And he said, well, you know, if the money's going to the prayer ministry, then I'm willing to send you the songs to my CD. And as long as you're there at the camp meeting, you have my permission to sell my CD, and the proceeds go to the prayer ministry. Amen. So we're making Jim Moon's CD available, and this is available for $10, and you can get a second one, you get two for $15. So you can give it as a gift to someone else. Pardon me? Okay, we're going to have this playing as you come in so you can test it before you buy. But I'll tell you something about this. In the work that I do as a prayer coordinator and some of the materials, wait till you see some of the materials I bring out later. It is a tedious job. It takes a long time cutting, punching, binding. But that's not what I'm doing. I'm not cutting. I'm not punching. I'm not binding. I am putting on this CD and I'm listening to songs of prayer as I am praying over all of the materials. And so I really recommend this CD, even if you don't get a chance to hear it. I would like for us to start as we do each morning and stand and sing our opening prayer. To the presence of the Holy Spirit to join us. Thank you. Father, for the promise and the presence of your Holy Spirit here today. We pray in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Boy, it's a wonderful morning, isn't it? I walked up here earlier this morning, and I was standing out here on the hillside, and I was just looking out over the mountains. And I'm going to tell you something. I realized that the words in that song are not a cliche. It is almost heaven. I'm from Los Angeles, and this is the first time I can think of in years that I stood out and looked over what I was seeing, and I could see how God could redeem this planet. And I was just so thankful and so blessed. And as I stood there, I just saw in my mind how He was going to change everything. But I'm like, He's already started here. And I really will always hear that song in a different way now. I would like for you to open your envelopes. I used to put little stamps on here that says, do not open, because I like to be mean. I like people to wonder what I've given them. Have you figured out what this is yet?
Prayer list.
Who said that? That's right. It's a prayer list. Anybody didn't get one? Oh, do you need pens? Anybody need pens? Okay, see, He takes care of me. He did it in Sonar, and He does it here. Which reminds me, I want you to look around today and throughout the rest of this week, and I want you to recognize the people who are behind the scenes. And ask the Lord to give you the opportunity to recognize who they are and go up and thank them. I would not be able to do what I'm doing without Barry and Rick. And I don't know, there's countless others, I don't even know their names. But they are the ones that make this camp meeting successful. And so let them know that they are appreciated. It would just mean a lot to me if you would do that. I know our Lord would be honored in recognizing those who serve on His behalf for us. What I would like for you to do as I'm speaking today is to take the colored cards and separate them from the white one. And I want you, before you write any names down, if you haven't written down already, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, as I'm speaking today, to give you the names of five people. Now, there's going to be some that probably come to your mind right away. But I also want you to invite the Holy Spirit to give you at least one name that you may not have thought of. And you'll find out later this week why I ask you to do that. That is so important. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your hearts. Let the Holy Spirit give you a name, at least one, that you may not have been thinking of. And it may be one that you were thinking of. He may just really convince you, yes, make sure you put that name down. Write on each one of these cards, write one name. And if you want to, there's a little space. You could put a one or two word prayer point, or you might put a sentence for a prayer point. And then on the other card, I want you to write each one of those five names. So you get to keep the white card. You're not going to get to keep these. We're going to... Now this, you have to listen and follow instructions very carefully, because usually I do this where there's one door and I can catch everybody. But I notice when things are over, everybody goes whoosh. So when things are over, you got to somehow find your way to this fishbowl and drop all your cards back in, the colored cards only, back into this fishbowl. Because for the rest of the week, when you come in each morning, we're going to ask you to draw out five cards. And so we're going to be praying for the rest of the week for all these names that we're collecting this morning. And we're going to have others praying for our loved ones. So that's where we're starting our intercessory prayer portion. Because this is where it gets fun. This is where we start seeing God doing some amazing, wonderful things. I'm telling you about how God has answered prayer in the past while I'm here, but we're going to have testimonies. We're going to have stories created. He takes care of me. He's going to take the fishbowl where you guys... Where are you going to put that, Rick?
Back in the middle door.
Okay. You see where that is? Everybody goes out that way after this is over. So anytime, as I'm speaking, write those names. Anytime as I'm speaking, I'm going to have to speak fast. We've got a lot to cover this morning. I might have to do this in two parts. I've been praying about maybe doing it that way. But I've heard repeatedly a lot of you want to hear the Navy story. You want to hear how Ricky and I met on that submarine. And it is a powerful story. It's an amazing story. So I want to tell you about that. I was not raised a Seventh-day Adventist. I happened to go to whatever Protestant church happened to be closest to wherever we moved. We moved a lot. So I would go to different churches. But as a child in Sunday school, I remember asking, when the Ten Commandments were being taught, why do we go to church on the first day of the week? And the Sunday school teacher didn't have a good answer. And then I remember in Sunday school being taught about the earthly sanctuary being a copy of one in heaven. And I asked, well, what's the one in heaven for? And the Sunday school teacher didn't have a good answer about that either. So those two seeds of truth, the questions about those important truths were planted in my heart as a little child, and they never, ever left. And it wasn't until I was in high school and our neighbor, who was a Seventh-day Adventist, came and asked me if I would like to take Bible studies. And I said, yes, I would love to take Bible studies. And I took this course called The Bible Speaks, and I learned not only about the Sabbath, but I learned about the heavenly sanctuary. However, I never joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church at that time. I was in high school. I was precocious, and I was involved in activities at my school, and I just did not give them up. But I loved the fact that I'd learned about the Sabbath. One of the dreams that I had all my life was to serve my country. And so when I graduated from high school, I joined the United States Navy, and I chose to serve on submarine. And it was my dream. I loved it. However, when I was stationed in San Diego, California, I realized that something was happening to my life. I had been a pretty decent kid. I'd made good choices most of my life, but I realized I was making really, really terrible choices, and I knew it wasn't in my nature normally to do that, and I realized that there was something I had done wrong, and I fell on my knees next to my bunk in that barracks, and I prayed to God, and I asked God, what is it that I have done to drive you away from me? Because I knew that was the problem. And I knew that God wouldn't leave me. So I knew I had done something to drive him away. And as surely as I can hear you speak, I didn't hear words, but the words came to my mind in clear... I could hear word for word, not literally hear, but the thought, word for word, came to my mind. All your life you have asked about my Sabbath, and I revealed that truth to you, and you have done nothing about it. And I was like, oh, but Father, I'm in the Navy now. There's no way I can keep your Sabbath. Oh, dear God, please take care of me. If you will take care of me and protect me, I promise you, when I get out of the Navy, I will go to a Sabbath-keeping church. You know, God's more... I love the fact that God hears our prayer the way they should be heard, not the way we say them. That's Romans 8, 26 and 27. I thank God that the Holy Spirit interceded and translated that the way it really needed to be delivered to heaven. Praise God that we can fumble through our words. And they always get to heaven with the power of God, because the Holy Spirit delivers them to the Father. And so I was transferred from San Diego to Charleston, South Carolina. And it was pretty odd, because when I was transferred there, I was given like almost 2 months space between the time I arrived in Charleston to when I was supposed to go out to sea, which the Navy rarely ever did that. They always scheduled you to go on the first boat available, or ship if you're on a ship. And if you're not scheduled for the first boat, they get you on the next boat. They don't wait 2 months. And I got there just in time, and I happened to stop by a Seventh-day Adventist church to ask them some questions about something. And when I was there, they said, "Oh, how would you like to come to some meetings?" And I looked over on the bulletin board. Now, how many of you were here last year at camp meeting? How many of you remember Kenneth Cox? His picture was over on the bulletin board. And he was just getting ready to have some evangelistic meetings. And they invited me to come to those. They were starting like in the next couple of days. And I ended up going to those meetings. And I was taking in every message with such joy. All that I had lost was coming back to me, and then beyond what I had ever experienced in my walk with Christ in the past. And I was just, I would go home and I would be so happy at the truths that were being revealed to me. But then all of a sudden came that one message that I was not wanting to hear. And it was the one about the Sabbath. And when I got when he presented the message about the Sabbath, I went home with the weight of the world on me and no earpiece. Can you hear me? Did I put it on backwards? There it goes. Is that working?
Yeah.
Okay. Rick's back there with bated breath. He's checking on me. Okay. I went home with the weight of the world, because I was afraid I was going to lose all the blessings that God had provided, that I was receiving in the previous meetings. And I went home and I prayed and I said, "Oh, dear God, please don't let me lose what I have received in blessing. Please, dear Father, don't let me lose." I was desperate, because I knew that I was at that crossroads, the very place that I had lost God in the first place. And I was in a place of decision. And a pastor asked me if he could come and visit me, and I said, "Sure." And as he was speaking to me, he asked me, he goes, "Do you love God?" And I said, "Yes, I love God." And he goes, "And do you want to keep His commandments?" I said, "Yes, I want to keep His commandments, but I can't." And he said, "Well, why can't you?" And I told him that I was in the Navy and the circumstances. And he asked me, he recommended that I go speak with Kenneth Cox. And so when I went and spoke with Kenneth Cox, after the next meeting, we sat right up in the front of the church on this side, the pews on this side of the church, and he was talking to me. And he when he was talking to me, I was telling him about all the circumstances and all the problems I was going to face. And he sat there and he said, "Michael, God does not tell you to do something and then ask you to deal with all the circumstances that you might face when He asks you to do that. He only asks you to be obedient to Him and to trust Him to take care of those circumstances as they arise." I'm telling you, you got to get the CD. There's another CD with resources. In this CD is the book, Sabbath at Sea, and it tells you, it has prayer ministry resources, and it has the book, Sabbath at Sea. And it really gives a better account of exactly how Kenneth counseled me. But I remember when he said that it was, if I could look up, I did look up because I thought I was going to see angels. I felt the presence of God's whole, I thought I had feedback. Is that feedback?
No.
Okay. Okay. Now, if I can't have reception, you can't. All right? Turn them off. I felt the presence of God's Spirit. And I knew at that very moment what decision I had to make. And I was counseled by Chaplain Bracebridge, a Seventh-day Adventist chaplain out of Columbia, South Carolina. He drove over to see me. And he told me what I needed to do and who I needed to see. So I followed his advice. Eventually, that led me to going in to see our executive officer, which is, we call him the XO. He's immediately under the command of the captain. And when I went in to see him, he told me that what I was requesting in my desire to observe the Sabbath was absurd. And he insisted that if I continued on the course that I was on, that we were going to lock horns. And I just told him that as a matter of conscience, I was not willing to give up what I had just gained. I will tell you that. I think I had to see what the loss of the Sabbath had impact, the impact of that loss did on my life, for me to realize at that time that I'm not giving this up again. I'm walking with God again in a way that I never did before. And so it was easy for me to say, I have, as a matter of conscience, no choice here, because I wasn't going to lose that walk with our Savior. A lot of times in our lives, there's these challenges that we face that we think they're insignificant. And we think perhaps that, well, maybe this time it won't matter. But I'm going to tell you something. I learned one thing in this experience, that anything, especially the smallest thing, that separates us from God is too big to do that. It's just too big. And I think the enemy is so tricky, and he's so subtle, and he's so sneaky. But if there's anything that we grasp from this experience I'm sharing, is it's not the big things that we need to be concerned about, because they're obvious. The way the enemy gets us, it's the little things. It's the little compromises we made. To me, back in high school, the Sabbath was just a little compromise. I didn't know the importance of it. We know the importance of it, but there's other things in our lives. How we treat our brother, how we treat our sister, how we respond or don't respond to someone who needs us. Those might be little things in our minds, but if they separate us from the power and love of God and that connection that we have, it's too big. God, remember the other day, the first thing that Christ said in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fell was, "Where are you?" Anything that separates us from God is not only something that we can't afford, but it's something that breaks Jesus' heart. I don't want to do something in any day that I walk, and I do it all the time. But I don't want to do anything where Jesus has to come up to me and say, "Where are you?" He has to call out to me, "Where are you?" So I wasn't willing to give up the Sabbath, no matter what the Navy said to me. As a result of this decision that I made, I was put on report because I did not show up one day for duty. And as a result of being placed on report, I had to go to Captain's Mass, which is non-judicial court. It's one level lower than court-martial. When we went out to sea, we went out to sea at this first time for about a week. And so during that week, I missed working on the Sabbath. At the same time that we went out to sea, there was another sailor sitting up on the pier, hiding, not letting us know where he was, and let us go out to sea without him. And so both of us had to go before the captain at the same time. I had to go because I missed the Sabbath. He had to go because he missed the whole week. And in the Navy, whenever anyone is taken before the captain in captain's mass, they have to post the results of that. At this time, I will tell you, the crew, for the most part, didn't want to have anything to do with me. They thought I was just shirking my responsibilities. And I was very concerned about what 2 months underwater was going to be like with everybody upset at me. But these results get posted on the bulletin board, and they just rushed and flocked around the two postings. And I'm watching, because I'm sitting in there when they get posted. This is in the crew's mess where we eat. I'm looking over and I'm nervous. I don't know what the results of this other sailor's captain's mass was, but I'm watching to see the reactions of everyone, because I hadn't really said much to too many people about it. And I see them backing off and they're upset. And I'm watching very closely, and then I realize they're not upset for the reasons I'm thinking. They're looking at each other and they go, "That's not right." And they're saying, "That's religious persecution." And they're saying, "That could be me." And what had happened was, when I went to Captain's Mass, I was found guilty. I was fined 1/7 of my pay, and I had a stripe taken away, and said, "We will vacate the removal of your grade, your grade, if you don't do anything for the next 2 months." But this other person, this other sailor, who was gone for the whole time, who was junior to me, who they're usually rougher on the junior because they feel like they need to be trained more, did not get fined at all and had a stripe taken away, but said, "You can keep your stripe if you don't get into trouble during the next 2 months." So the crew started, rumbling started taking place in the crew, and they were getting very upset about the fact that there tended to look like religious persecution in this circumstance. They go, "I may not believe in his Sabbath, but I might have another belief." So everything started shifting. The tide started shifting to where the crew was looking at things differently. And of course, the next Sabbath came up. I'm called before the captain again. But before I'm called before the captain, I'm called before the sonar officer. I'm called in his office. He happens to be the Protestant lay leader, and he happens to be the one who is counseling the captain on these matters, because the captain is an atheist. He knows nothing about Christianity, and the Protestant lay leader is helping our captain deal with these circumstances. And the sonar officer calls me into his quarters, and he says, "The captain doesn't know what to do." And I go, "What do you mean he doesn't know what to do?" And he said, "Well, he can't figure out what to do regarding your circumstances, because the crew's upset. And he's afraid when he takes you to captain's mass again, that if he's too hard on you, the crew might mutiny." And I'm like, "Well, he only has one choice." And they go, "What do you mean he has one choice?" I go, "Well, the last time I went to court, captain's mass, he fined me 1/7 of my pay for 1 month. We've been over in Spain for 1 month, so we're going to be out to sea for 2 months. I said, the only thing he can possibly do is fine me 1/7 of my pay for 2 months, or for the rest of my career. I'm satisfied with that, because I'm not here in the first place. If I'm not working on the Sabbath, I shouldn't get paid for working on the Sabbath." I said, "So that's the only answer that he has." And he goes, and then the officer goes, "Are you sure?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that's the only answer." He goes, you can afford this? And I'm like, yes, I can afford this. My God takes care of me. I don't have to worry about this 1/7 of this pay if I'm being obedient to God. He will provide for me. And then he goes, but what about the crew? And I said, well, you take care of the captain, and I'll go take care of the crew. And so he went and told the captain exactly what I said. So it's kind of funny, because I'm going to captain's mass knowing before I even go what my punishment's going to be, because I told him how to punish me. God is so funny. He's got a sense of humor. And then I went and talked to the crew, and the whole crew started calming down and looking at things differently. And then I just finished the second captain's mass. They ended up adjusting the watch schedule, so my chief ends up saying, I will take his watch. And then they needed someone to take his watch, so this officer, who happened to be the officer who wrote me up, goes, well, I will take the chief's watch. And so I went up to Officer Lipscomb one day and I said, you know, Mr. Lipscomb, I really want to thank you for what you're doing and taking my chief's watch so that I can observe the Sabbath. And Mr. Lipscomb said to me, I want to thank you. He said, in all my life, I don't know one time in my entire life when I have ever had the opportunity to do anything for God. Wow. You know what? I don't know where Mr. Lipscomb is today, but I'm going to tell you something. God has a hand on him. I'm going to see that man in God's kingdom. That's a God we serve. I don't put God in a box. He can reach people in ways I can't even imagine. But I know he's reaching him from that testimony of that response to that experience that day. And so, my XO, who didn't like me very much, you can ask Ricky. Ricky can tell you all about our XO. Called me into his office and he had asked me about how I witnessed, because he heard me giving testimony about witnessing, and he said, I don't think you should witness while we're out at sea. And I said, is that a direct order, sir? And he said, yes, it's a direct order. If you want to take it that way, it's a direct order. You are not to witness while out at sea. And I said, aye, aye, sir. And I turned and I was walking away. And as I was walking down the passageway, man, the Holy Spirit grabbed me and said, you cannot leave that way. You've got to go back. And you know, Scripture says, he will give us the very words to speak in the very hour we need him. I'm like, I need him in the next 30 seconds. Because I have no idea what I'm going to say when I knock on his door. And I knock on the frame of the hatch there. And the XO looks up and he goes, yes, Roland, what is it? And I said, sir, I have to witness. And he said, what do you mean you have to witness? And I said, sir, for me not to witness would be more of a burden to me than anything this command could do to me for witnessing. And then he said, well, I just want to tell you this, Roland. If anybody on this submarine accepts the Sabbath while out at sea, we will consider it mutiny. For both of you. And I said, well, sir, I don't think the Holy Spirit would let anybody get into any trouble. And he looked up and he said, I didn't think the Holy Spirit would let you get into any trouble. And I said, well, sir, I don't look at it as if I am in any trouble. And then they found out that during field day, which they do every Saturday, I would stay in my bunk. And they found out I stayed in my bunk, and the next Sabbath they came and they just jerked my curtain back and they said, Roland, get up. And I'm like, well, I have no place to stay during field day. Everybody's cleaning the boat. I have no place to go. I'm going to be in somebody's way. And they said, that's your problem. You get up like everybody else. And so I put down my book because I was reading The Great Controversy. And I got up and I'm like, Lord, where can I go? Where can I possibly be? where I won't be in somebody's way. I do not want to be a hindrance to anybody. And it came to my mind that one of my friends, I thought, cleaned the ship's library, and it was a very small room. So I went to the ship's library, and I went in there, and sure enough, Jerry Walthall was cleaning the ship's library. And I went in, I said, "Jerry, is it possible for me to stay in here during field day each Sabbath, because they've kicked me out of my bunk?" And he goes, "Oh, absolutely. I would love for you to be in here each Sabbath while we do field day." And he goes, "And can you teach me about the Bible while you're in here?" And I'm like, "Sure." So he was just drilling me and asking me all kinds of questions. By the way, I want to tell you about this. That 2-month period I told you about, I started going to those meetings immediately. I ended those meetings, was baptized into Seventh-day Adventist Church, and was on a plane with Ricky the following Wednesday for Rota, Spain, to meet up with the submarine. That is God's timing. That is God's timing. So he's asking me if I'll do Bible studies, and we're just talking, and he's asking all these questions. And then his boss walks in, Ray Morgan. He's got a vacuum cleaner in his hand, and the cord and the hose all wrapped around him. He's stumbling through the door, and he's telling Ricky this, and looks up, and he goes, "Wait a minute. Haven't you been cleaning? We've had 2 hours. What have you been doing all this time?" And Jerry, or all my names are getting mixed up. Jerry says, "I was just sitting here talking to Michael about Roland about baptism." And Ray goes, "Baptism?" I'm like, "I am in so much trouble." And Ray goes, "I thought you were Jewish." And I go, no, I'm not Jewish. He goes, "Well, what are you?" I'm like, "I'm a Christian." He goes, "A Christian?" I go, "Yeah, I'm a Christian." He goes, "A Christian that goes to church on Saturday?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm a Christian that goes to church on Saturday." And he goes, "And you believe in baptism?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Do you believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he starts asking me all these questions. He goes, "Man, I've been reading my Bible all my life, and you're the first Christian I ever met that's actually worshiping on the right day of the week." He didn't know about Adventists. That's a sad testimony to think about it. And so he starts asking me a lot of questions. So he ends up every Sabbath, he finishes up his area really quickly, and he comes down to the library. And we're having a Bible study in the library. And then Ricky and I were standing watch together. We worked together. We literally worked exactly the same time in the same small area. And Ricky asked me if I would give him Bible studies. And I said, "Well, Ricky, I don't know if you know, but they told me they didn't want me to give Bible studies while out at sea." And he said, "That's okay, you can give them to me at night. Because at night, the sonar door is rigged so when you open it, the light goes out, so that we don't blind people out at the periscope well." And he goes, "So when the light goes out, you can hide your Bible." And I'm like, "Okay." And so I started giving Ricky more. He was more asking questions than me giving Bible studies. He's very inquisitive, much like Ray was. And when I first talked to Jerry, I said, "You know, Jerry, they said that if anyone accepted the Sabbath while we were out at sea, they would consider it mutiny for both of us." Jerry said, "That's okay. You can teach me everything else while we're out at sea. When we get back to the United States, you can teach me about the Sabbath." so that's how we worked this. That's how the Lord worked this. Well, after my second trial, I was in the ship's library, and we had damage control. We had a missile, WSRT, weapon systems readiness test, where we're supposed to test to see if we're prepared to fire missiles. Well, it was the Sabbath. I would do any other drill until I found out it was a drill on the Sabbath for damage control or something like that, but not for battle stations. And so I stayed in the library, and I'm like, oh man, I'm going to get into trouble. I thought everything was behind me. And Jerry and Ray were in there praying for me. And right after weapon systems, whatever that is, a messenger came down. And he said, Roland, the captain wants to see you. And I'm like, okay, guys, keep in your prayers. I'm like, here we go. I thought this was all over. And I went to see the captain. And he invited me into his stateroom, and he said, have a seat, Roland. And I sat down, and he said, I'm calling you here because we got a message from the Red Cross, and the message is that your mother's in the hospital. And I asked if they knew what it was. He said, no, we don't know, but I wanted you to know that she's in the hospital. I'm like, thank you, sir. And I left. Then, like the next day, the messenger comes to me again. He says, the captain wants to see you again. And I said, okay. And I went to see the captain. And he had me sit down again. He goes, as a captain, it's up to my discretion as to how much I tell you when we get a message about someone. And he goes, I wasn't completely truthful with you when I told you we didn't know what it was. But the sonar officer came to me and told me that I should be completely honest with you so that you know how to pray. This is an atheist telling me what I need to know so I know how to pray. And he said they think it's cancer. And they're checking that out. And I'm like, okay, sir, thank you. That was my breaking point. And I left. I just begged God. I begged Him. I said, Father, somehow you have got to reach me. 200 feet underwater. I need you. And I said, how can I worship the God of creation when I can't see a blade of grass, I can't see a cloud moving across the sky, I can't hear a bird sing? I'm like, dear Lord, help me. Because it was in my heart to take this message of Jesus back to the mother who always wanted me to know Jesus. And Friday, as punishment to me, each Friday they made me raise the periscope, and I would go down into the periscope well where all the hydraulic oil would gather, and I would clean it out, and it would get in my hair, and it was just a really messy job. It wasn't one they would normally give me, but it was punishment for what I was doing. And that Friday came up, and I raised the periscope. We were underwater, and we were below periscope depth. And I just went up. I just decided I was going to look through the periscope. And I looked through the periscope, and I panned all the way around, 360 degrees, and came back, and was standing there looking through that periscope with the biggest smile on my face. And I started hearing all the sailors going, what has happened to you, Roland? Have you cracked? How can you enjoy looking at green water for so long? And I said, come and look. And before long, the news had gotten out, and there was a line formed at the periscope. because there were dolphins swimming off the bow. My favorite animal. And so I went down to the periscope well, and I crawled into the periscope well, and I was cleaning out all the hydraulic oil, and I hear a familiar voice. This time it's not a messenger. It's the captain. The captain never comes to you. He always sends the messenger for you to come to him. But the captain journeyed down into the belly of that submarine to find me on the preparation day and called my name, and I crawled out of that well. And he said, "Roland, we've got another report from the Red Cross." I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Your mother's okay." Boy, man, does God answer prayers in specific ways. I didn't know how he was going to reach me 200 feet underwater, and he sent dolphins. I couldn't see him reaching me, but I knew he could. And he honored that faith, and he did it. But he also let me know I'm going to get to go back and present the message of the Jesus that I have grown to know to that mother that I love so much. And the captain looked at me and he said, "Roland, did you know your mother was going to be okay?" And I said, "Sir, I did not know what the outcome would be, but I had every faith that she would be okay." And the captain responded, "Roland, your faith is remarkable." And I said, "Captain, my God is remarkable." And he turned and he started to walk away, but he stopped and looked back and he called my name one more time. "Roland?" "Yes, sir." "Have a good Sabbath." "Have a good Sabbath." That man, I believe with all my heart, he's passed away since then. I believe with all my heart that atheist captain has been reached by God in his time and in his way, and I'm going to be able to go over this story with him in God's holy kingdom. As a result of that experience, Ricky's here. His family's here. I'm here as a result of that experience. But Jerry Walthall in the library became a Seventh-day Adventist. And Ray Morgan from the library became a Seventh-day Adventist. And at the end of the book, when I finished the story, I didn't know how to end it because I knew our story with God is never over. So I ended it with, "And the story of God's love continues." The God who answered the prayers for me in such a magnificent way is the same God who will answer the prayers for the names you have written on those cards. With just as much power, with just as much detail, And we're going to give that God that opportunity throughout the rest of this week to start with and the rest of our lives. But we're going to see some mighty things done for the names you have written on those cards. We're going to end a little bit differently today. Rather than standing for our closing prayer and song, please remain seated. The reason I'm asking that is because some people can't see the screen and they really want to see the visuals of the prayers up there and the words up on the screen. So let's just stay seated. And then after the prayers, the song, remember, take the cards out this way and drop them off in the fishbowl. Okay, let's all close with prayer. Father, you have our names. You have the names of each person on each card engraved on the palms of those hands we just saw. And so, Lord, I just thank you because we know, dear Father, that even before we wrote those names, you have sent your angels. Your Holy Spirit is at work. Father, we know this, but what I ask, Lord, that you would bring peace and comfort to the hearts of those who wrote those names. And let them have that faith to know, dear Father, just as you showed up for me 200 feet underwater, you sent me dolphins, you sent me a message not only of my mother's well-being, but of have a blessed Sabbath from an atheist. If you can do that, dear God, just give us that peace of knowing that you are taking care of our loved ones. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.